What an awful death he died to pardon you and me. All alone in agony, he tossed. And a world once lost in sin can now be wholly free by the blood that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. 'Twas his love that paid the awful cost. O soul so far astray, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. I am missionary Richard Yerby in Japan, preaching this to you from my straw mat floor small living room in central Japan. In my previous sermon, I asked you fellow Christians to ever so seriously ponder if you want to put forth the spiritual effort to be an overcomer in this perilous end time age, thus being victorious over the intensifying suffering and the increasing numbers of human deaths that are now upon us. If you didn't hear that sermon on the radio, please listen to it on my website, christisall.us. Separate those three words with two dashes. Christ-is-all.us is the URL. On that website, open up the link titled Radio Sermons Audio, and my previous sermon is number 2026-3. As I ended that previous sermon, I was expounding Revelation 12, verse 11, which clearly tells us the three things to do in order to overcome in this perilous end time age. I'll read that verse now. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And I was in the midst of expounding that first point. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. God's ark enemy Lucifer and all his demons, devils, and unclean spirits cringe to hear us preach, testify, and sing of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross because of the shed blood's almighty power to defeat them in their battle to destroy human souls eternally. Let us Christian warriors keep Christ's shed blood foremost in our thoughts and in our audible speech and singing as we do battle for our Lord and Captain Jesus Christ. It is the first in this list of three things that we employ to make us overcomers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, how joyfully I glory in that victorious proclamation. Hebrews chapter 9 teaches us of the importance and ever so vast differences in the ordinances of the first covenant that the Lord God made with Israel in the Old Testament and in the ordinances of the second covenant, the new covenant that our Creator Lord God made for the entire human race by Christ shedding his blood, God's blood, on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind. Listen carefully now as I read verses 6 and 7 of Hebrews chapter 9. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. I will skip some to save time in reading. In verse 9, we read, which was a figure for the time then present, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now skipping on to read verses 11 and 12. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus of Nazareth's own blood was Almighty God's blood. No unredeemed thing can enter into God's holy heaven and into his high and holy presence on his throne in heaven. My Christian believer, just how highly do you personally value Christ's precious shed blood, by which and only by which will you be allowed to enter into God's holy heaven, because you have been eternally redeemed by that shed blood? Please carefully read all of Hebrews chapter 9. It is most important doctrine pertaining to the saved Christian believers' eternal redemption, by which we will be allowed into God's holy heaven. I will now skip down to verse 22. And almost all things are, by the law, purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Skip it on down to verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Thus ends Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 10 gives us additional blessed assurance that Christ paid the price of our redemption once and for all. So please also read it soon. Free from the law, oh happy condition, Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once and for all. Once and for all, oh brother, believe it. Once and for all, oh sinner, receive it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once and for all. Also, let's keep in mind the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It reads, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Quickened means made alive by the Spirit. In a real sense, in general, blood is a loathsome topic to talk about. Thus, present-day lukewarm Laodicean church folks who are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing care not to sing, preach, teach, study, or testify of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Such an attitude of shunning the precious and powerful shed blood of Jesus Christ will prevent them from being a believer that overcometh. You fellow Christian listening to me now, please cry out to God to save you from having such low regard for the shed blood of the sacrificial Lamb of God. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. I love to sing this following children's song about the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Thus far, I have spoken much on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the first thing by which we overcome persecution and slaughter by the devil and his army. I now move on to the second thing we employ in order to be victorious overcomers in this intense spiritual battle of victory or defeat, life or death. My title of this sermon is The Word of Their Testimony. Listen again now as I read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the three things to do in order to overcome. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. A dominant characteristic of this present-day lukewarm Laodicean church folks is recorded in the Old Testament book of Isaiah in chapter 56, verse 10. Listen as I read it now. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. We Christians would richly benefit to honestly pray to be saved from such a deplorable spiritual condition. You please pray with me now. Abba Father in heaven, please have mercy upon me to save me from being spiritually blind and ignorant. Please save me from being a dumb watchdog that cannot bark. Save me from being at ease in Zion, spiritually sleeping, lying down, and loving to slumber when I should be on the firing line for thee, enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I pray this also for all other Christians now on earth. Amen. An underlying reason for present-day church folks being dumb watchdogs that cannot bark is that they are filled with selfish pride, thinking too highly of their own selves. Thus, they will not go unto Jesus Christ without the camp, bearing his reproach. I will now read one of the most glorious invitations in the entire Holy Bible. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, verse 13, with this glorious invitation. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We two-faced, cowardly, lukewarm, Laodicean Christians boldly sing, pray, testify, teach, preach, and talk about spiritual things at the times we are within the camp. By that, I mean when we are within our steeple houses or assembled together in any place in the name of Christ as a group of Christians. But when we step out without the camp, out into the public world around us, amongst this sinful human race, we become dumb dogs that cannot bark, ever so timid and shy about singing praise to God or giving a testimony. In that lukewarm spiritual state, we fail to be overcomers. We saved Christians have a most grave and serious duty to invite the lost world of sinners around us to come to the Savior, to be saved eternally, and to warn them of the terrible, fiery, eternal punishment that awaits them if they refuse the Savior, while it is now the day of salvation. Isaiah 58, verse 1 commands, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." In Psalms 34, verses 1 through 4, the psalmist declares, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Someone put that into a song which goes like this: "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall forever be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." That verse 4 proclaims wonderful victory. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. My friend, it is most blessed to be delivered from all of one's fears, is it not? Listen now as I read end time prophecy of men dying of fear, as recorded in Luke 21, verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. A day or so after murderers knocked down the New York Twin Towers in September 2001, newscasts told of a man's heart failing him as he sat in his chair in his living room, his eyes and his fearful heart glued to his big screen, which was repeatedly showing video of each tower falling. Thuswise, he died of fear. Personally, I am ever so richly blessed in that I have no TV in my dwelling. Also, I do not spend much time in my house, but rather strive to constantly abide with my Lord Jesus Christ without the camp, out in public, calling on the surrounding human race to repent to God to be saved eternally. Doing such fills my heart with God's love, joy, and peace that passeth understanding, and with the blessed assurance that, come what may, I am safe in the arms of Jesus and that all is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. You please keep in mind the wonderful promise in Psalms 34, verse 4, that your Creator God will deliver you from all your fears if you will abide in him. Additional blessed promises follow in Psalms 34. Verse 5 reads, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Listen to verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. It will do your soul good to pray the following with me. My Creator God, please remake me into a soul which blesses thee at all times, with praise unto thee continually in my mouth, exalting and magnifying thy great name. Enable me to wholeheartedly seek thee. Please deliver me from all my fears. I look unto thee, Lord Jesus Christ. Please lighten me. May I not be ashamed. I am spiritually poor and needy. Thus I cry unto thee, please hear me and save me out of all my troubles. Help me to sincerely fear thee. Thus thine angel will encamp round about me and deliver me. Please enable me to taste of thee that thou art good, and that the person who trusteth in thee is richly blessed. Help me to genuinely fear thee. Thus wise, I will lack nothing. Amen. Romans 3 verse 18 says of some people, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That is not only the state of the devil's crowd, but also the spiritual state of most present-day church folks. On a Sunday morning back in 1975, I sat in a Baptist church young adult Sunday school class on the Pacific island of Guam, where one of the regular members attending that Sunday school class boldly proclaimed, I don't think we should fear God. With that word of his testimony, he clearly and even proudly testified to all of us present that there was no fear of God before his eyes. As I preach this to you in the year 2026, likely death has already overtaken him, instantly bringing him into the knowledge that his Creator is a God to be feared. I testify to all souls that I serve the Lord God with fear and trembling, and that doing so fills my soul with blessed assurance. Any person will fear God, or they will fear many other things. Psalms 111 verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Get smart, lost soul, repent. Trust in Jesus Christ to save you and fear God. Get smart, lukewarm Laodicean churchgoer. Fear God now. He has the following wonderful promise in 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 7, for those who fear him. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For the overcomer who fears God wholeheartedly, God graciously takes away all other fears from them, making them more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that loved us. Presently, the souls on earth who fear not their Creator God regret the mounting growing fears, worries, and anxieties they find swelling up within them as end time perils increase and mount around us almost daily. Personally, my heart is filled with my Lord's love, joy, and peace. I have the Prince of Peace, and all is well with my soul, no matter how fiercely the storms of life rage around me. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. That's in Isaiah 48, verse 22. Lost soul, cease crucifying the Prince of Peace by shutting him out of your life. Receive Jesus and love him with all your heart. Then you will have peace like a river. Peace like a river, peace like a river flows through my soul. Flows through my soul. I've been forgiven, sweetly forgiven, cleansed and made whole, cleansed and made whole. Glory forever to Jesus, my Savior, for wonderful, marvelous, heavenly peace. Sweeter and sweeter each day it is growing. Like billows of glory, it never shall cease. Filled with the Spirit, I am so happy and glad. Jesus hath given, sweetly has given, wonderful, glorious, marvelous peace. I sleep well at night. With the peace of Jesus filling my heart, you can also have that now. No matter how the perils increase around me, I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. My time is up now. My heart overflows with joy having preached this sermon. I pray that this sermon has done you good also. So please go forth now. And you be a blessing and comfort to the souls around you and shine some of God's sunshine of love unto them. Many souls around you are miserable and hurting, wallowing in the misery of worries and anxieties. You can be a help and an aid unto them if only you will. God be with you to bless you richly this day and every day of your life on earth. Amen.